Well, good morning again, and welcome if you are a first-time visitor. We're glad to have you with us. We are continuing our study through the book of Nehemiah, and the songs today are very appropriate because they're all about Jesus and our love for Him. And so even though we study the Old Testament, we study the Old Testament in order to see Jesus and to grow in our love for Him and our walk with Him. And I think you'll enjoy today's chapter. We're on Nehemiah chapter 6, the first few verses anyway. But I'm working. Praise the Lord. Our theme for this year is fight the good fight. Okay, that doesn't mean with the person next to you. As we said in communion, Jesus desires that we should be... No, you weren't here in communion. Where were you? Jesus' desire for us is that we should be... Right, so the fight is not against the person next to you. The fight is... Well, we'll see what that is in a moment. But our year theme is fighting the good fight. And as we said... In that good fight, we've got to do some running away, some fleeing from sin. We've got to pursue after certain things about righteousness, we'll see in a moment. And we've got to build. And obviously that's what we're talking about in the book of Nehemiah, as he did some building. You'll see, just before we go into the message, that we are still running our pre-service discipleship course. Today is a holiday Sunday, our holiday weekend, so we have no class. But we begin again next Sunday. And so if you haven't been to any of them, you're welcome to come along, join us anyway for the next 5 or 6 Sundays before the service, 8:45. And also one more advert for the women's retreat. If you are a woman, don't forget to sign up for that. Will be next Saturday. All right, we are thinking about Nehemiah, a man who was quite choleric. He laid hands on people the physical way. He wasn't the guy, lay hands on you, God bless you. He was lay hands on you, pull your hair out. He was a bit of a radical preacher. And so he has something to teach us today about our life for God. And I believe God is going to speak. But our title is kind of doing a good work, but actually a much more interesting title is The Plain of Ono. And if you've read the story before, you may have heard of that place. And if you haven't heard of that place, you'll hear about it today and find out why it's somewhere you don't want to go. So let's just take a moment to, before we read God's word, to ask Him to illuminate it for us, to bring it to our hearts in a special way. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have Your word. We realize that it comes to us through great sacrifice of Bible translators and men of God who copied it down faithfully over the years. Thank You that You preserved Your word so that as we read it today, we know this is not man's word. This is not fake. It's not just a nice book of stories. This is Your inspired written word that is valid for us to base our lives upon. So we come to Your word now and ask that Your Holy Spirit would make it alive to us, that the words on this page would become living and powerful, and they would divide even between our thoughts and intentions. Your word would have its work in us. So we offer up our hearts and say, Lord, speak to us, speak to me, and use these words to make us more like Your dear Son, Jesus Christ. We ask it in His name. Amen. All right, we're in Nehemiah chapter 6, so if you would turn over there, if you haven't already, and we're going to read just the first 9 verses, and we go on with a bit more in this story of Nehemiah. Okay, ooh, I have the control. I'm in control. Nehemiah chapter 6. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors of the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me saying, come, let us meet together in one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent this message 4 times. And I answered them in the same manner. He goes on in the next part and says, then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the 5th time, with an open letter in his hand. Here's what the letter says. In it was written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says, that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall, that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come therefore, and let us consult together. this letter they sent, an open letter to Nehemiah. What does Nehemiah say? Verse 8, and goes on, "Then I sent to him, saying, 'No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart.' For they all were trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done.' Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Okay, so here's our passage for today. Let's think a little bit about that. See Jesus in there, see ourselves in there, see how does this apply to the life that you and I lead in Guangzhou today. Nehemiah has been busy building the wall. I'll show you again some photos in a moment. We've had the first five chapters. Now remember, they come back to Jerusalem in waves. Probably they came back first with Zerubbabel, then they came back with Ezra, and they built the temple. So now they have the temple, and then Nehemiah comes back because he hears there's no wall, and says we're going to build the wall. And so he is involved in a building project. He says, we've got to do something about this state. The city's no walls around it, no protection. The walls had all been knocked down by the Babylonians. And so, as I showed you the last time, that's the sheep gate where Nehemiah began. And then this is after a more recent renovation project. There's a lion gate. This is the work that they were doing, restoring these huge walls of Jerusalem. So we've now got to the point where the walls are all built. Everything's done, just no gates. They're still working on that part. They haven't got the gates up. The wall is finished. Inside, they are relatively safe, except they have no gates. That part of the work is not done. And that's where we find Nehemiah in this story today. And so our first point is, when you are building God's kingdom, you will have opposition. Now, if you were here a few Sundays ago, we talked about opposition when we got to Nehemiah chapter 4. Today's opposition is a little bit different. It's opposition by distraction. Were you distracted? Yes, you were. Okay, today's opposition is from, there you go, they're almost with me. When we begin to build God's kingdom, we should expect distraction. You know, the Bible says that the church, we are the bride of Christ, and one day we'll be with him forever. We look forward to that day. The Bible also says that in the New Jerusalem, there is no temple, because the temple is Jesus. It says there is no need for a temple. The Lamb is the temple. So God himself says, okay, I'm going to make a new thing. But in the time of Ezra, in Nehemiah, and in the rebuilding of Jerusalem, they built a temple, and they were now building the wall. When we look forward to that, we say, okay, what is God doing in my life? God has given us Jesus, but he's also made us to represent Jesus as we go outside. And so when we are here on earth, Jesus gave us a very clear command. He said, seek first, how's it go? The kingdom of God, right? So we are supposed to be the ones building this wall. We have the temple, that's Jesus, and he is living in us. We are his temple. But we are supposed to do that building project of the wall, rebuilding the kingdom of God here on earth. God established his kingdom. The snake came in, and Adam and Eve gave in. They ate the fruit. And so from then on, it's been a project of God retaking the world. And it looks like he loses sometimes. Jesus got killed. But in the end, of course, we will win. And so as we look at this story, we think, I am here on earth to do some building. Tell the person next to you, you're supposed to be building. Now, that doesn't mean you've got to change your job to become a builder. But it does mean we have to change our perspective on life and say, I'm not here for my own self. I'm here to do what God has called me to do. And what God has called you to do is to build his kingdom. Okay, it's important to say that first, because the rest of this section doesn't really apply to you unless you're building God's kingdom. Okay, so are you building God's kingdom? I hope the answer is yes. If not, at the end, I'll give you a chance to fix that and get in the building project. So Nehemiah is building. And as he builds, they've got a long way on. The work is almost done except for the gates. And he finds the opposition now comes in a different format. If you remember, when we looked at the previous chapter, they were threatening to come and kill them. We'll come with swords, we'll come with spears, and we'll fall on them and they won't know anything. Well, in this chapter, he doesn't do that. He's just distracting them. He says, come on, let's come down and chat. You know, let's just go down to the plain of Ono, we'll meet in a village there, and we'll just have a chat. We'll spend some time together consulting about this. And it says, four times along came. Now, of course, Nehemiah understands, and God knows, that their idea was not really to have a chat. But they were trying to distract him from the work, trying to distract Nehemiah from the work. And we'll see in a little while his response to that distraction. But then we see in verse 6 and verse 8, what was it that these people are saying is happening? It is reported among the nations that some gossip is going around. And Geshem says, I mean, who's this Geshem? That he is the one that knows everything. He has all this information. Geshem says, here's a rumor. Here's a lie that was invented. And he goes on in verse, also in verse 6, and he says, these rumors, their goal is to distract Nehemiah from the work. Come on down, let's talk about these things. Listen, look at this letter. If the king hears about you, you'll be in trouble. Better come down and talk to us. We'll sort this out. I'm sure there's a good explanation for what you're doing. It mustn't be true, but come and let's talk about it anyway. They're trying to distract him, not by threats of violence, not by threats of a war, but by simply saying, let's sit down and talk. Let's hang on for a minute. Don't get so busy with that work. Let's just sit down and chat. And of course, Nehemiah has the right response. But we'll see that in a moment. The next thing in verse 9 is scaremongering. They were trying, verse 9 in chapter 6 says, for they were all trying to make us afraid, saying that their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. They were scaremongering. They were trying to frighten them so the work wouldn't get done. They were surprised. They said, these Jews, how can they possibly build a wall? If a fox even runs on it, it'll fall down. And now they're like, 50 days it took them to build the whole wall. And they're like, this is amazing. How is that possible? Let's find some way to stop the work. And so that's our next point, is that the enemy's goal is always to stop the work of building. When you plan to do something for God, the enemy comes in and he tries to stop you. Distraction, threats of violence. He has 101 ways that he wants to stop us. He seeks to destroy us. But the enemy's goal from verse 9 here is the work will not be done. The work will not be done. So as I said, when we look in the Old Testament, we want to see, where am I? Where is Jesus? What's the lesson in this for me? Look at your own life. What work did God call you to do? Well, of course, the first work is to love him and love him well. And then we tell others, we bring them in to love God. But there's a specific part, more clear, more detailed than that. That's the general work. There's a specific place in God's kingdom. It might be related to what you're studying, to your work. But there's something specific God wants you to do. Is the work getting done? Ask the person next to you, is the work getting done? Don't answer them, just ask them. Is the work getting done? Because that's what we're looking at this passage for. Is the work getting done? God made you to do something in Guangzhou, on this planet Earth. The enemy's goal is to stop your work of building. Everyone in Jerusalem was building part of the wall, even the woman. It wasn't, oh, that's men's work, you go off and do that and we'll just sit and chat. No, the women were out there too. Everyone was out there building. And the nobles, the rich, the poor, everyone was out building, because God has a place for you, for everyone in his kingdom to do some building. No excuse by age or gender or infirmity or nothing. We are all called to do some building, but the enemy wants to stop that work. So when Nehemiah heard that, he said those wonderful words in verse 3. He sent the messengers and said, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? Why should I sit down and chat with you people? I'm too busy doing God's work. Now, we want to look at some of the distractions that might happen to us, because it's unlikely that you will meet Sanballat in your week this week. I believe he is already dead and gone to, well, wherever he went when he died. Not speculate on that. So you will probably not meet him, but you will probably meet some of these things as we go through our week. Nehemiah's wise words, I'm not going. I would like us today, because he said four times they came to distract him, and then finally they sent him a letter. I'd like us to look at four major causes of distraction that might just distract you. Let's have a look at some of those. Here's our first one. Oh dear, why does it all come down all at once? Okay, you're going to have to pretend you can't see those. You can only see one, right? I must have made some mistake with my PowerPoint. If you have ever pushed a shopping trolley, you go into a supermarket, you push a shopping trolley, and you get the one with the squeaky wheel. How does that feel? squeak, and it won't turn, right? You got your four children hanging on it, that's me, and it won't turn because they're heavy and the wheel is squeaky, right? What's the squeaky wheel? It represents a problem in our life. We say in English, the squeaky wheel is the one that gets the most oil, right? The problems in our lives can be a source of distraction. What's your don't say out loud, but what's your problem, right? We often find that there's some problem in our life that makes us complain. Now, I can help you to identify it if you don't know by asking this question. What do you complain about most? Okay, don't say it out loud, but how many of you complain about, oh, Guangzhou is so hot, right? Maybe not these days, right? It's too wet. Or my husband is just terrible. Or my kids are a problem. Or the preacher in church. No, it's probably not that one, right? There are problems in our life, and you can know what you feel like is your squeaky wheel by what you complain about most. Oh, my back. Oh, I just can't do anything. I just got to lie down. You know, sometimes problems will come in our life. You might really have back pain. I'm not saying you don't have back pain. I'm not saying your husband's not a pain in the neck. Right? Those things may be true. But they can be a distraction that gets you off doing God's work. Well, my back is so bad. I would love to go out and tell people about Jesus, but it's just that my back just really bothers me, so I can't get out there, right? The devil's job is to stop you doing your job. And so a squeaky wheel represents problems in our life. You have problems. You should have problems. If you don't have problems, you're probably not living out John 16:33, which says, in this world you will have... I didn't see problems, there's afflictions, right? But it's the same thing. You'll have trouble in this world if you want to serve Jesus. And so problems can distract you from doing what you want to do. What you want to do if you want to do what God wants you to do. God has a plan for you. And a problem can make you say, ah, man, I just can't get it done. Have you ever made an excuse in your life? Anyone ever made an excuse? You know, I failed that exam because, well, you know, the teacher, he hates me anyway. He writes those bad exams, doesn't like me. Whatever excuse you put, that may be because there's a problem that's distracting you from serving God. Next one is procrastination. Anyone like to procrastinate here? Yeah. Procrastination. Never, right? I'll do it tomorrow. Why would I bother doing it today? Nehemiah never said that. He said, we're going to do it now. I'm not stopping. Procrastination might be because of laziness. And often we think it is, but that's not always true. Sometimes you procrastinate because of fear of failure. Ah, if I start that, what happens if it goes wrong? You know, you might be a phlegmatic personality and it's too much work. I don't want to start that. It may be that you're afraid of starting something because you may fail. Don't be afraid. Just get out there and do what God has called you to do. Don't worry about the cost or the consequences. If you're doing what God called you to do, He'll provide for you. He'll get you through that. So procrastination. Was Nehemiah procrastinating? He was not. Right, we're taking the concept and applying it to our life today. You may be distracted by problems in your life. You may be distracted by procrastination. I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow, of course, never comes. Because just when you think it's about to happen at 11:59, you say, I'll soon be tomorrow. And it turns to 00 and it's already today, right? Tomorrow never comes. Don't put off to tomorrow what you should do today. Of course, the procrastinator's motto is, don't do today what you can put off till tomorrow, right? Procrastination is a distraction from doing what God wants you to do. As God called you and you said, I'll do it when I'm old. I'll do it after I've had fun in my life. I'll do it after I've been successful. After I've made my first million, I'll do what God wants me to do. No, don't procrastinate. That's a distraction from fulfilling God's plan for you. And the third one, people. Oh, dear. Anyone know any problem, people? Okay, stop looking at me. I'm not the problem in your life. People can be difficult for good things and for bad things. You know, the Bible says, Paul writing, he says, why don't you stay like I am? Don't get married, right? He says, listen, don't get married. Why? Because when you get married, the husband, what does he think about? He's having to imagine. Come on, James, you're a married man. Tell us, what does the husband think about? His wife, okay? Don't say his wife, right? And what does the wife think about, Sally? There's only one right answer. You better get it right. The wife thinks about food, handbags, shoes. What's that? Eventually she thinks about her husband, right? We hope. Paul said the wife is busy thinking about her husband, how to make him happy. The husband's busy thinking about his wife, how to make her happy. And if you don't know, that's the secret for success in your marriage, right? Aiming to make your wife happy, aiming to make your husband happy, you'll both be happy, right? In God's plan. But anyway, he said, if God has called you, He's given you the ability to stay single, well, do it. Because you won't be distracted from serving God. People can distract you, either for good things or for bad things. Sometimes it's because you're busy serving people. Remember Martha. Jesus came to visit Mary and Martha and Lazarus in their house, and Mary just sits down and, oh, I just love to listen to Jesus. And Martha's busy, oh, get him some food. Right? She had a gift of service. She wanted to please him. She wanted to bring food. Mary, what's she doing? Nothing. This lazy woman, she's just sitting there listening. Listen, Lord, tell her to help me, you know. They'll get some of this food in the kitchen. And he said, she chose the better part. You might be involved in service at GICF. You might be in the worship team or in the ushers or in Sunday school. Don't be distracted by your service from actually doing what God has called you to do, which is, in first place, love him above everything else. Don't hide in service. Say, well, I'm an usher, I'm a deacon, I'm a leader. No, that's not. God wants you first to love him above everything else. Okay, so people can distract us. Our desire to get married can distract us. I just got to find a husband. As soon as I find a husband, I'll be fine. Or a wife. Where's a wife? Anyone single? Raise your hand if you're... Don't raise your hand if you're single. I'm married. Well, I just got to find the right person. And in the meantime, where's God? I've forgotten about him. I'm distracted from loving God. You, as someone posted on WeChat recently, you are complete without a wife. You're complete without a husband. You're complete if you have Jesus, right? That's not to say there's anything wrong with marriage. But seeking marriage when you're not married can be a distraction from doing what God wants you to do. And then pleasing people. Are you a people pleaser? Some of us are. We just want people to be happy. I just want people to say I'm a nice guy. Not complain about me. And that can distract us from doing, oh no, what if Samuel thinks I'm crazy? I better not do that. Right? Our fear of people, our desire to please them. You know, my mom would be really mad if I did that. You know, if I serve God, my dad is going to be angry. What God has called you to do, we should do, regardless of what people may say around about us. Okay, here's our third cause of distraction, our fourth one. Oh, I'll give you a moment to read that for yourself. Self! Big distraction. You ever have any trouble with yourself? You ever fall out with yourself? Ever have an argument with yourself? You should, right? Because yourself has a big problem. It's called self. It's called in the Bible the old nature, the old man. Don't call the person next to an old man. Some of us are. We have an old man. Our old human nature loves entertainment. They said to Nehemiah, come on, sit down with us and chat. Now, of course, they didn't really want a friendly chat. They didn't want to entertain him. They wanted to do him harm. But in your life, you will find that if you desire to please God, your own desire for entertainment is going to come and say, listen. It's fair to take it easy sometimes, right? And you don't always have to be working. Don't kill yourself, James. Relax. Put your feet up. You know, put your hands behind your head. Enjoy a drink. Maybe just watch some TV for a while. And entertainment is a distraction from what God wants us to do. Sometimes even when you're in the service. Am I allowed to say that? Your social media is a distraction from what God wants you to hear. So if you're on Facebook right now, unless you're posting the sermon, switch it off. Distraction. God wants to speak to your heart. And if you're distracted by playing on your phone, I know you might get a new high score because the sermon is about 30 minutes and that's probably long enough to reach a new level. Put it down. The entertainment is distracting you. Pleasure is distracting you. God wants to speak to you and he wants you to do something. And he says, don't be distracted from that work. I tell you what, you have a problem with self, I have a problem with self. And we'll have that problem until the day we meet Jesus because we're carrying around this body of flesh. Paul said, whoa, I'm a terrible man. Who will free me from this body of death? And then he said, but thanks be to God who always leads us in victory through Jesus. We can defeat the sin nature. We don't have to sin. No one will force you. No one can force you, not even the devil himself, to sin. We choose that ourselves, and that's the self nature. Pleasure. I just love to have fun. I'm a fun-loving person. Why should I bother? I'm distracted. Study. I know that many of us study. We have university to think about, and it can distract us. Working, just as soon as I've made my first million, I'll be ready to work for God. Our stuff. Anybody here love stuff? Probably you shouldn't raise your hand right now. Stuff, filling our lives with stuff, can distract us from doing what God wants us to do. And so Nehemiah here is giving us a lesson. He's teaching us how to deal with distractions, how to deal with fear. And so let's move on as we see, what do we do about that? There are many more things that can distract you. You probably know some in your own life. And here's our first response. When my wife was looking over my shoulder as I prepared a PowerPoint, she said, you spelt it wrong. And I said, no, that's on purpose. Because Sanballat and Geshem wanted Nehemiah to come down to the plain of Ono. And so I just separated it and it's now the plain of Ono. Because that's the place you don't want to go. The place of distraction. The place where you say, come on, sit down, let's chat. You know, we'll buy you a drink, we can be buddies. Oh, forget all that bad stuff. You know, we were threatening you, but we can be friends now. Let's talk about this. When he said no to the distraction, they stepped up their game and said, we'll tell the king on you, we'll get you, he'll come and close you down. They threatened him some more, but he said, no, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why should the work cease? And so as we look at his life, we say, if we love Jesus, then we're called to live for Jesus, right? It's fair. He lived for us. He died for us. He gave his life. We do the same. We love Jesus. So I say, oh no, don't go. Now, 1 Corinthians 10:13, you probably know. And it says this, no temptation has overcome you except what is common to man. And God will never leave you alone because with every temptation, he always provides a way of escape. He always provides a way of escape. If you find yourself with the distraction of the mobile phone, perhaps you need to uninstall some apps or buy a Laura and Shoji, right? It has only just those big buttons and no games, right? You might need an old folks phone. I don't know what your distraction is, but there's no reason that distraction has to beat you. Because in every temptation, God has already provided a way of escape for you and I. And so our response is, Nehemiah said, oh no, I'm not going to, oh no. Our response is, I'm going to lay aside the distraction, the fear that they were trying to sow, and even sin. Hebrews 12:1, you know the verse, it says this, therefore we also, why? Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, that's all of the church living and past, their lives, their testimony. Let us do what? Lay aside every weight and sin. Now notice he didn't say, let us lay aside only the sin in our life. Weights are not necessarily bad things. They are distractions. They are things that hold us back. If stuff holds me back, it's not necessarily the stuff is a sin, but I'm going to lay it down so that I can go ahead. If a relationship holds me back, I'm going to lay it down. It may not necessarily be a sinful relationship, but it's not helping me. It's holding me back. If there's something in my life, my work or my study that's holding me back, I'm going to lay it down and I'm going to go on. It may not necessarily be sin. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. That is, there are things in your life and my life that clutter our lives. And we have a job to do. Lay aside those weights and the sin. And run with patience. Why? Because we are looking unto Jesus. We no longer need to build a temple as they did in the days of Ezra. The wall, certainly we do. We're building God's kingdom here on earth, but the temple is here. We have Jesus. He lives in us. We are his temple. He is the temple. Both of those are true. And so as we look to what Jesus did on the cross for us and the life that he lived on earth, we say, well, I'm going to be part of that. As the disciples did, they turned the world upside down because of their relationship with Jesus. But before we do that, we have to say, I better make sure I'm doing a great work. How do you deal with distractions? Well, first check, am I doing a good work? Am I doing something important for God's kingdom? And what might that be? We're going to have to go down because I got my slides out of order. What's a great work? You'll find it hard to read at the bottom. Let me read it to you. A great work can simply be being faithful as a parent, being a committed Christian wherever you are. Faithful doesn't have to mean performing many miracles or bringing a revival. Those are all good things, but they don't have to be those startling things. Just living a life of faithfulness, because God said, love me and love your neighbor. And then be faithful in all you do. That's what God calls it. That's great. Being faithful in the small things, God will lead us to more. So don't feel like if I'm not leading a revival campaign, I'm not doing something great. But we must know we're doing a great work. And then think that. I'm doing a great work. Tell the person next to you, I'm doing a great work. And hopefully it's true. And if it's not true, you're going to go out from here and you're going to deal with the distractions in your life and begin doing a great work. And then finally, verse 9 says, this is Nehemiah's diary, as we said the last time. He's writing down here his thoughts. And he throws out a little prayer to God. At the end of verse 9, he says, now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. And so that is the instruction for us today. As we look at the life of Nehemiah, we deal with the distraction, and then we come back to God and say, Lord, strengthen my hands for the building. You'll see there's some hands sneaking through on the wall. You're involved in a building project. You've got a part to play. The wall didn't get finished by them sitting around and looking at some people working. Everybody was working. God has called you to work for Him because you love Jesus, because you've given your life to Him. And so pray that God will give you strong hands to do what He has called you to do. And so as we asked the last time, are you building for God? When we added another word to that, we said, what are you building for God? That's a vital question. You're here in Guangzhou. You're in business, you're studying, you're teaching, you're building something. What are you building for God? Because the Bible tells us that everyone is building. Some are using wood and hay and stubble, but others gold and precious stones. So build with precious materials, because everything will be tested by fire. And only what's done for Christ will have lasting value. What are you building for Christ? Here's our conclusion. If you're going to build God's kingdom, as we said in chapter 1, 2, 3, and 4, that was the first statement. We need prayer. We need to act in faith. We need to work as a team. And we need to face the opposition. I put those in there to remind you that this is just one short section. You cannot get an overview of the whole of Nehemiah if you're just here for your first service. There is more. You can download those sermons on the website. But for today, here's our conclusion. Say, oh no, to distraction. Would you say that with me? Say, when the distraction comes along, what are you going to say? How about fear? When fear comes along, say, Samuel, where can I get you? What are you going to say? Oh no. Why are you going to say, oh no? Because remember, when Jesus looked to the cross, He said, I don't want to go there. He said, Lord, Father, if there's any other way, please take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. And so He didn't say no to the death and the suffering. And because of that, we go and we say no to distraction. We say no to fear. And we pray that God will give us strong hands to build His kingdom. And as I have finished several times as I preach, I want to give you an opportunity to do something about this. You may be asking, can God use me? Either some sin in your life or just wasted years. You say, can God really use me to build His kingdom? Of course the answer is yes, but let's just look at the words. Nehemiah in verse 9 said, now therefore, O God. He knew that the secret in the building was not his own strength. It was not his own brain. It was not the resources he'd received from the king. It was God. And so again, I challenge you as we wrap up our message today. If you feel like there's something between you and God, if you are not born again, or if you are born again and not living for Him, then I must challenge you. God wants to use you. And so you have to say, now therefore, O God, here I am. Strengthen my hands to build for you. And if you have sin, if you're not born again, please do talk to me afterwards. We would love to help you come into God's family so that you can really build. But if you do that, then we can say confidently, yes, God can use you. God can use you to build His kingdom if you'll say no to distractions and no to fear. And so then it's only left to give you that question. Will you? Will you go out and do that? Will you fight the good fight, laying aside the distractions to build God's kingdom here? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do just want to thank You for the life of Nehemiah. And we realize that the story's not in there to make us think how great he was. He didn't record that just as a nice piece of history to show how the Jews got their wall back. You built that, you wrote that story there in Your word to teach us something about Yourself. That when You redeemed us, You didn't redeem us just to live a life of ease, a life of plenty, a life of blessing. Though You have given that to us many times. You bought us, You redeemed us, You made us Your own so that we could go and pass that on. That in our love for You, we can share Your love with others. That the devil will not win, that we will buy many back into Your kingdom by our efforts in reaching the lost, the friends, the neighbors, the workmates, classmates, that we will be bold to build your kingdom by evangelism and by working in your name. Whatever we do, that we would do it in your name. Lord, I know that in our lives we have faced distraction. And I can confidently say that each one of us at some time has given into distraction or into fear. I ask that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts right now. Just point out to us, what is that area perhaps that we have neglected to do your work? We got distracted. We were so enthusiastic before and then we've kind of forgotten, kind of laid it aside. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would take your word now and apply it to our heart and remind us that it's our job to say, oh no. Oh no, I will not be distracted. Oh no, I will not give in to fear. Oh yes, I'll build your kingdom. Father, I pray today that you would give us strong hands. Strengthen our hands, Lord. We are your body here. You've called us to reach out. Strengthen our hands so that we can build your kingdom. We can build your kingdom here. Let us not be distracted. Let us not be afraid. Let us be your body. Thank you, Lord, that you give us the strength to do that. You give us the power to do that. And so now, we want to say that back to you. Now, therefore, O God, here are my hands. And if you really believe that, then just say that to him. You might want to lift up those hands. You might want to look at your hands. Just say that. Now, therefore, O God, here are my hands. Strengthen my hands to build your kingdom. God doesn't send his own hands physically. He sent yours. He sent mine. Now, therefore, O God, here are my hands. Take my hands and build your kingdom for the love of Jesus and the extension of his kingdom. And if you say that genuinely from your heart, then I promise you that he will give you his Holy Spirit this week to say, oh no to distraction, oh no to fear, and to do something great, a great work in his name. Amen.